Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
Hi everyone, welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where thank God Cam did not break his ticka again because Stephanie is down for the count and not here today.
Woman down. Stephanie's down. She needs... It's not
guys,
good.
I'm Amy Ratcher. No voice. Yes, you are not in a fever dream. This is Married at First Sight, but I'm with Amanda today because our beloved Steph is down with some strep throat. So send her your love and thoughts in the Facebook group. She will be back next week. Because, you know, if Cam breaks his ticka,
I was just grateful he wasn't in this episode because, excuse me, I cannot do that justice. So I didn't even want to try.
I'm not even going to try. No, I'm not trying either. She is Cam.
She is Cam. She's the only one who can do it. And as a fellow strep throat girly, I know just how she feels. And it sucks.
Oh, yeah. She was like, God love her. Because yesterday she's like, no, I'll do it. I'm like, Steph, no. Because you know what that feels like, yes, when your throat feels like you have razor blades in the back of it. It's like, okay, I'm not talking
to
anybody.
Awful. Strep throat sucks.
So we send her our love. She will definitely be back next week. She might be back for Hunting Housewives on Friday, but we're not sure yet.
I wonder, Amy, I think you gave Stephanie strep throat because...
We were not making out, I swear.
I know you were.
Okay.
You covered for Meredith on Hey Bunky because she had strep throat.
I'm the strep throat giver.
You're the strep throat? Mm-hmm. You're the commonality of the strep throat. Shit, now I'm going to get it.
God damn it.
Okay. Damn
it. It's okay. All right. Well, what are you going to do? So, few quick announcements. Seeking Sister Wife dropped yesterday. If you haven't listened, there's a surprise repeat appearance.
I had no idea it was coming.
Our favorite uber masculine group. also, like I said, Stephanie and I will be covering Hunting Housewives. It's a terrible Lifetime movie. I don't know why we decided to do it. I want to jump out a window right as I was watching it.
this is supposed to be making you happy on Friday.
We didn't think it would be good. We just thought it would be funny, but it was okay. One of those things where it's such a clunker, it's not even funny. So, meh. So you don't even need to watch it, guys. I'll spare you. Just listen to our recap. We're going to rip it apart. And then
spoiler
next
alert,
week,
that's what I'll do.
Next week, I'm talking with Leslie about Where's Wendy Williams. That is on Monday. And then, you know, the rest of the week, per yush.
Yeah, single life, tell all part 943. I don't know, more single life.
I will say, and I talked about this on Seeking Sister Wife a little bit, but I'm aware there's a different audience for MAFS, okay? So you guys need to know this too. There's a survey in the Facebook group. There's a survey going around. We're going to be 1 year old next month, and I want your input. It's one of the data points I use when putting together the content for Little Miss Recap. So fill it out. You also get a chance to win some merch. So fill it out. Take a chance to win some merch. But also in the Patreon group, we are replacing 90 Day the Single Life when it ends in mid-April with either Love During Lockup or 90 Day Love in Paradise. And these motherfuckers are 50-50 in the poll.
Now we're 50-50.
50-50.
Dag nabbit.
That doesn't help me.
No, it doesn't help.
That might as well be 0-0.
It actually does help you. It tells you what I've been telling you is that we have to do both.
Oh, Maron, I don't know what to do. If that's the case and I have to put one on Patreon, I'm thinking I might put Love During Lockup on Patreon so the cast members don't hear me.
I think that's our safer bet.
And don't try to interact with me.
Yeah. But this if you've never watched Love After Lockup and you've been curious, this will be good to jump in on because Love During Lockup is like the first of the three. And there might be some repeats. If there's a repeat, it's only going to be one repeat, I'm pretty sure. And I hope it is.
Yes, and how you can watch it.
Ty's ringed up.
Here's how you can watch it. It's on WeTV and All Black. They do have apps. Now, I will tell you, All Black has a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to for like $5 a month that will have all the episodes on there.
Oh, which might be better because the All Black app is horrible.
So here's what you do, guys. You call up mom or dad who still have the old big fat cable package.
Ye old cable.
Ye old cable. You get their username and password, and you might, I don't know, I'm not telling you to do this, but you might
be able to log in, maybe.
Be able to log into the WeTV or All Black app.
Maybe. We don't know.
Somebody in this recording might be doing that. I don't know.
Maybe multiple people. Who knows? Thanks, Mom.
So you can find it. And it is, if you liked Prison Brides, you'll love During Lockup and love After Lockup because it's just a little trashier. It's got the Matt Sharp treatment.
So much better. Mm-hmm. So much better.
All right. So are you ready to jump into Married at First Sight? This is what the people came for.
I am. And I've got a, banger of an episode.
Amanda, this is what Stephanie and I have been slogging through.
Y'all have been doing the work, man. Yes. Y'all have been doing the work.
So this is Married at First Sight, Season 17, Episode 22, Doubts, Dilemmas, and Drag. I'm going to be very honest with you. There's some of this I just kind of fast-forwarded through.
I watched the whole thing, but okay, go ahead.
Okay.
It's fine. Whatever you want to do is where we're going.
Castor Pal basically tells us, everyone has divorced, and now we're pinning all of our hopes on Chloe and Michael. Like, that's it. They've got to do it, or we're going to be running out of town.
Castor Pal failed this season.
Oh, my God. They all did.
Yeah.
Dr. P is the only one running around trying to fight off Brennan 24-7. Doing some thing.
In previous seasons, do we have this many failed relationships?
Usually you get at least one or two that are okay.
Okay.
I mean, do they last long? No.
Okay.
I think there's let me put it this way. When they said last night that there, or a couple nights ago, that there were 9 Love is Blind couples still together, that is far better odds than Married at First Sight, which has been around a lot longer.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Chloe and Michael are walking by some lake situation. I don't know what's going on.
I'm 99% sure I've been to that lake.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's Chloe. I will say that there may be a dispensary very close to that location. There may be.
Okay. All right.
Heard rumor.
Is it Chloe? It's Chloe and Emily. Did I say Chloe and Michael?
You did, but it's Chloe and Emily.
I'm sorry. It's Chloe and Emily. Walk. Emily has moved back home. So the producers basically called Emily up and they're like, we need you to walk with Chloe and see how she's doing with Michael.
So they called all the old people up and were like, we need you to hang out with Michael or Chloe.
Of course they did.
Basically.
So Chloe tells Emily that she and Michael are banging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Emily asks if she's fallen in love. And Chloe's like, we like each other immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And Chloe vents a little bit about Pia. She's like, that bitch said I'm inauthentic, and I'm uh-huh. real heated about it.
That really bugged her, which makes me think this is something that she has thought about herself in the past.
Now, don't forget, Emily and Pia have their own history because
they do.
Brennan morphed into Bowser, and Pia tried to take him down as the end boss. And so Emily's like, well, I kind of like Pia. Like, she's harsh. And then Emily does say, there might be a reason she brought this stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Emily has had legit growth through this process.
She did not have growth.
She had no growth. No, this Emily really matured through this process.
I think Emily has been terrified, petrified, and is now has no choice but to take a mental health journey
right
back to her body. Yeah. Because she is, yeah, it's
yeah,
bad.
But like, I think she realizes, like, oh shit, I gotta go do some work.
Yeah.
I think she is going to be the one who's going to be the most successful out of this, which I would not have said at the beginning.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
So Emily says, maybe Pia knows these will be issues down the road. Maybe that's why she's bringing it up. Mm-hmm. And Chloe's like, nope, 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 nope. My head is firmly buried in the sand.
Yeah. Chloe was triggered.
Mm-hmm. Now we get some talk of Claire and Cam. Not much here. Mm-mm. No.
No Cam.
The fact that these two motherfuckers are still getting paid for doing what?
Why are they? Why is Claire trying to talk to him other than the show keeps telling her to? Do you think she legit keeps trying, like, legit wants to reach out to him, or the show's like,
no, no, okay. I don't think she gives a fuck about Cam and his broken tikka. I wanted to come on and say Stephanie had a broken tikka, but I was worried that people would be upset and worried. Yeah, no, even if it was for a split second, I didn't want anybody thinking she has a broken tikka.
No, 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 she does not. She just merely has razor blades in her throat at the moment.
Right. So Claire says, Claire's in her car and she tells us it's Cam's birthday and she tried to reach out, but he ignored her. Stop reaching out.
Claire, Jesus, stop it.
She says, this is the final straw and I'm done trying to stay on the show. And I have to accept that this is over. Okay, she didn't say that. Do you think that people who know me and have been listening to me long enough know that there's things I take liberties with dialogue?
Okay. And it's generally pretty obvious when you are.
Okay. I try to make it pretty obvious. Okay.
That one was very obvious because I don't think she would have said that. I need to stay on the show.
Then I'm like, do people believe me then when I'm saying the real stuff? So if somebody says something outrageous, I do say, and they really said this.
Yes, you do. You're very clear.
So she's like, yeah, he was not meant to be my husband in any shape or form. So I'm doing some self-care. Later, we see this real boring walk with her and her sister where she basically says, I won't be dating anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Guys, Becca's hooking up her TV. This is what we're getting now.
I love her so much.
She's hooking up her TV. Now, she does have an interesting and I think very touching phone call with her mother.
Yeah, her mom was super sweet.
This mom was momming.
Yeah.
She, Mrs. And she was good.
She was quality momming.
Quality momming.
Yeah.
Mom is like, when someone says they're going to do something, you need to be able to trust them. And Becca cries and says, will I ever find a guy? I know what she's doing. We all know what she's doing.
He's perfect now because he's gone.
No, it's not. Oh. Yes. Yes. There's that. But she's also doing, and ladies, we all know this one. Maybe my expectations are too high.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes. Oh, of course. Of course.
Because I want someone who I can trust, who will show up for me. My expectations must be too high.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. I want someone who treats me the way I treat them. That's just unacceptably high.
Yes. Yes. So I feel for her. And she's doing the he's perfect that he's gone. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So those two things in tandem, that's a tough force to fight against. And mom's like, stop it. You need someone who's your equal, who you can trust. She says, you guys had pretty big issues. Trust, religion, slower intimacy speed.
Even her mom's like, Becca, he wouldn't fuck. You got to get out of this. Like, mm-hmm. Even mom. You mom know why? Says, this is why Becca's so awesome. Because her mom's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mom says, you are deserving of these things.
Yeah.
Then mom says something. She says, your person won't make you question things. Now, I want to say something here. It is rare that I give my sister public props on the podcast, but I'm going to right now.
Okay.
Do we have some kind of sound effect for this? No, we don't. Thank you. Thank you. When I was at my lowest, divorced, lonely, you know, thinking I was 26 and was never going to meet anyone ever again. I was going to die a spinster. Okay.
Yep.
Jenny said to me, when you meet the right person, like, you will never have to say, if only. Mm-hmm. Like, he would be perfect if only this. This would work if only this, if only this. And she was right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give her some credit. And she convinced me, like, to not marry the losers that I was banging around with.
Sure. Bang around with them. That's fine.
To wait for the right one. Right.
Yeah, to wait. And you waited for the one who's, there's no if onlys.
Correct. Well, there's if now. Only he were Billy Bob married Thornton. For 17 years now.
Right.
If only he got Bob that Thornton. Fire started this morning, Amanda. I'm late recording.
Hey, there you go. Timmy, come on, man. Together.
I'm glad that people are solidifying behind my love of Billy Bob Thornton. It's happening in the Facebook group. Stephanie loves him too.
Something wrong with you people.
Oh, man, is he hot. He is sexy. He's sexy. And you know what, too? He's smart. Okay. That's what's hot about
him. I'll give you smart, but I'm not going with the sexy. But go on.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree. Let me continue. Yeah. So anyway, so what Becca's mom is telling her really resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Same. It was the perfect advice.
Can we talk about the word resonate for a minute, Amanda?
Oh, sure.
Let's go to Amy's grammar corner.
I know where we're going.
Guys, things resonate with you. Let's use this correctly. Like, how are people using it wrong? There's a way that I'm hearing that's being used
wrong. I resonated with that.
I resonated with it. It has to be the object.
Yes. Something you do not resonate with anything. Other things resonate with you.
Right. Thank you. Okay. So I believe that somewhere on Nickelodeon in the 90s.
Oh, God.
Someone started to say on accident.
Oh.
And we have an entire generation of millennials who say on accident.
Drives me nuts.
It drives me crazy. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I have come to accept it. I'm at a place of acceptance.
Okay.
But now it's this resonate is being used wrong.
That's your current.
Yeah.
Your current fight. Yeah. I understand.
So anyway, so that resonated with me.
It's same.
Mom said. Correct. I didn't resonate with it. It resonated with me.
With you, okay. Yes.
So now we go to Lauren, and she's getting a pedicure with the friend, and she tells the friend, yeah, I went out with Orion once or twice, but we're not going to be friends. I shot him in the head with a fake arrow. He still kept an coming. Asshole. He wants to build a bridge. I want to burn it down. I'm going to douse it with gasoline. Fuck you, motherfucker. I'm done.
Also, they had very large glasses of champagne.
Yeah, I was kind of into that.
Right up to the tip.
That was a good pour.
That was a good pour.
So she said she texted him. This is what he does. She said she texted him the day after he begged her on camera to be friends or to hook up or friends with benefits or building the bridge. And she basically texted him and told him to fuck off. And he never responded. This is what he does.
He responded with, I need some time. I want to, you know, give you the time and an actual response. Then crickets.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this motherfucker.
But the reason that she responded to him is, you know, he gave her this speech on camera.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, a couple days went by and he never reached out.
Right.
So she said to him, the ball's in your court. He never reached out. So finally she sent him wall of text. Mm-hmm.
Lauren, stop spending any energy on this asshole.
She said, he's trash. I have a community around me. The friend, you know, is like, that's a big thumbs up for me. Like, yes, he's trash. She says she's been on two dates. She's really feeling this one guy. Now, you know, there's a rumor going around.
No?
Guys, jump ahead. Hit that 30-second forward button.
Okay.
That she and Michael, post-show, are a thing.
What?
I don't know. That's what I heard. That's the rumbling on the ground.
I mean, we said that all along, that Brokejohn Prince would have been a better match for Lauren than Orion. I mean, a trash bag would be a better match for Lauren than Orion. So
yes. Do you want to build a bridge? Fuck off. So she says, Lauren says she's got her groove back, and she says she got married at first sight and divorced at first fight. And I thought that was very funny.
I really like her. I would like to be her friend. I think she'd be fun.
She'd be great. Now we go to Ryan and Brennan.
I know. When they start walking up, I'm like, oh, motherfucker. Why these two fuckers?
I know. And now they're trolling me at this point. Because now they're putting him in a tool belt. Like, you already know I'm borderline attracted to this asshole. Why are you doing this?
But I'm just trying to tempt you to make sure you still have good taste.
I felt like he didn't know what he was really doing.
No.
Even though he probably did. But I'm just trying to tell myself it looked fake. So
okay. We were wondering though, is Orion an electrician?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I could not remember that. So yeah. We were watching, we're like, is he an electrician? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So he's here to change a light at Brennan's.
Sure.
And they decide to sit. I wonder how Brennan felt. Because you know Brennan. Mm-hmm. He was probably like super masculine when the producers were like, can Orion come over and change your light for you?
Right. Right.
Right.
Because I'm sure Brennan's, he looks at Orion as this like,
I can change my light.
I'm sure he looks at Orion as this like sensitive.
Oh, 100%. Mary Pants or something.
I can see him saying gross things like that because yes, Brennan sucks. Yes.
Yep. Brennan sucks. So they decide to sit down and catch up with a little bro time, Amanda, bro time. And Orion tells Brennan, I've been shut down. Lauren has shut me out. Okay, motherfucker. Oh, you're muted.
Fuck you. There
it is. So Brennan's like, why are you trying to make this work so hard? And Orion says, we had such great chemistry. I'm thinking the sex was great.
I think they banged. I think he had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think
maybe he wants to be on TV.
He wants to be on TV, or he's got a little bit of masochistic tendencies where he just wants someone to be with someone who hates him.
Maybe. So Brennan says, I need a lot of time to heal and some self-care and to work on my growth.
Because, you know, Brennan was really aggrieved in this marriage, and Emily was such a monster that he has a lot to heal from, Amy. Right, it's very hard.
Even after we learned that Emily cheated on him, even after, I'm still Team Emily.
I'm still Team Emily.
Because he was so rotten. He was so rotten.
Such an asshole. I hate him.
Okay. Michael and Austin are boxing. Didn't see this matchup coming. Mm-mm. And Austin says, you know, he's looking to try something new and work out some stuff. And Michael's like, okay, well, this is a start, you know.
Sure.
Let's get it going. Austin says, I'm not focused yet because I'm still reeling from the pizza party massacre, as I'm calling it.
It's a pizza party massacre. And he says,
he and Becca are done. And then I literally wrote here, I zoned out. I don't know what else happened. Michael says something like, sounds like you're still trying to work through some stuff. Okay, now we go to Michael.
Yeah, that's all you care about.
His journey is coming to a close and he's getting nervous that he has to navigate his emotions. Blah, 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 blah. Michael, stop overthinking.
You're the only good man on the show.
This.
Yes.
Stop overthinking. Oh my God. He's turning into me.
He's turning into Mary from 90 Day.
There is a lot of overthinking here.
There is.
So he's like, you know, like, it's working. You're feeling it. Just go with it.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't have to be this hard.
He's like, oh, it's hard to talk about my future and acknowledge it could be a no, but I really, you know, blah, blah. Like, he's talking himself in and out of this marriage.
He is. He's spinning. He's
spinning. So Emily and her friend are traveling now. They're going to be traveling. They're talking about it. And she rehashes everything that happened to her friend. Like, why do we need this?
I don't know. Other than to find out she's going to Thailand, why do we need this?
Yeah, we don't.
Also, Emily, can I come to Thailand with you?
Yeah, I'll go to Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Okay, I won't even leave my house to go to the mall. I know, wait, that needs to be done at the mall. Can I order it on Amazon?
I was in Florida for 3 days and all I wanted to do was get home. So, you know, like... Mm-hmm.
How was flying? Is it still a nightmare?
Yeah, it's the same nightmare it's been for...
Yeah.
Since 9/11. Like, it's just... Fine.
No, I've had flights pretty I've had uneventful flights, but I hear people are having some crazy flights.
We were fine. It was, you know, just the planes are totally packed because they have so many fewer flights than they did pre-COVID.
Amanda, how was flying? Did you survive it?
I did. I got here. Anything happen? Okay. Nope. Nope. No doors came off the plane or anything. It was pretty great.
I sounded like when Lauren walked in the room and Michael goes, "How was the gym? How was flying, Amanda?" So now we have Michael and Chloe. It's 7 days until decision day. Michael's cooking, which was pretty hot.
It's really hot, uh-huh. Yeah.
And Chloe decides she's going to chat with him again about Pia. She is not happy with Pia.
This is living rent-free in her brain.
Yes, it is. So we discover that Mom didn't know about the first marriage, and this is why he didn't tell her about the second. Chloe totally agrees with this. What are your thoughts on this, Amanda? If you were doing this and you were marrying Todd at first sight, you were mm-hmm. in the same position, Todd's like, "I'm not telling my mother," how would you feel?
I would be bothered by it. I'm not going to lie. I would. Even though it's this weird way of getting married. Mm-hmm. This getting married is a big thing. Being on a television show is a big thing. Like,
right.
There's a lot of bigness about this that I would be upset that. But then I'd also have to think, I'm brand new in this relationship. I don't know what his relationship is with his mother.
Well,
this might be the right choice.
Mom freaked out because the first one didn't work.
Right.
So here's my thought on it. I could see not telling her at the beginning, mm-hmm. but I would think 3 or 4 weeks in when you were supposedly like super falling for me,
right.
telling her would be a sign that you think this is going to last.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
not telling her would feel like you don't think it is.
Right. Particularly by this point, if he hadn't told, I would have been really upset.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
They're talking about like they're going to keep doing. I mean, they go back and forth and back and forth, but they're they're acting at this point as if they are going to keep going.
Right.
So
he's got to move on to the animal sanctuary.
Right. Exactly. With the five troubled teens. I don't know what she thinks she's doing. She has no idea.
From one parent of teen to another step parent mm-hmm. of teens, you don't want more than you have to have.
No.
Chloe says her feelings were hurt because she says she was being accused of being inauthentic. She's like, "Isn't this authentic? Aren't I authentic?" This is really stuck in her brain.
Yeah, you're right. This is really upsetting her because mm-hmm. it's something she worries about.
So what this has done is this has wound her up a little bit mm-hmm. to be like, okay, now I have to make sure this is more authentic and I'm going to get there by saying we have to live together.
Yeah.
Even though she seemed okay with it before, I bet you she wasn't.
Right.
And she was being, that's what Pia was picking up on. I don't mm-hmm. think Chloe's okay with this.
Yeah.
So now she's like, got to put
How would you feel about the living together after?
I would need to live together, but we have established I am uber traditional.
I know.
In my relationship.
I know. I don't
know.
Now,
if I was getting married today.
Yeah.
Like if I had, say, Timmy is off on another planet.
Sure.
And I have to find somebody else. And I probably would not live with somebody.
Okay.
Wow. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd get married though. That's the thing. Yeah. I don't think I'd get married.
Got it.
If I'm going to marry somebody, I should like them enough to live with them, I'm thinking.
Yes. Agreed. But there are couples who do not live together and that works beautifully for their marriage. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here we say our motto is fly your freak flag. Whatever that is, whatever color, shape, form that takes, you do you.
As long as you're not hurting anybody else, have fun.
I don't think I could ever get married again. Don't forget, you know, I've been married a long time and True. I just, it's not for me, Amanda.
Not for you.
It's not for me. I mean, you know, if Billy Bob Thornton comes around.
Or Bradley Cooper.
Right. Yes. Sure. Or Ben Affleck. I'm going there too. Mm-hmm. All right. So she says they need to talk about moving in. And he says, I have a theory about Michael that I will reveal in a minute here.
Okay.
He says, I don't know if we're going to be able to buy a house or apartment to accommodate our current five animals, let alone the brood you want to bring in, plus the five foster troubled teens.
Right.
And he's like, and we're not ready financially to buy a house.
Right.
So she says, maybe we need to go look at a property that might allow us to be a whole family. She says that. And he's like, I think we should not compromise on what we want to find. My theory is Michael is bougie.
Michael is bougie for sure. Mm-hmm. And she's not. Mm-hmm.
And she's not. And he wants like a luxurious 6-jet tub.
Right.
And that's okay, Michael.
Yeah. That's okay. Wrong with that. If that's what you like, have it. But that's not what she wants.
She's not. No. Mm-mm. So later they go look at a house. It is very cute.
It is. I like that house.
I wrote, it's gorgeous. It has to be a fortune. And we find out it is. It's almost $5,000 a month to rent.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everyone. Stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When I'm
trying not to go on a rant about the housing market, but it's bubbling up.
The housing market is bubbling up right now. And Todd's like, oh my God, that's true. I'm like, but you know what? That could vary. And it turns out to be very close to what the two of them already spend together.
I know, it's still too much.
It's way too much. Mm-mm. It's way too much.
The amount that people are charging for rent is criminal.
Oh, I know.
It's criminal.
As a renter, I know.
Yeah.
It's not
good. Yep.
When I owned a house, it was almost half of what I pay in my mortgage.
Yeah. My mom is a renter, mm-hmm. and my grandma was a renter her whole life. Mm-hmm. And my mom pretty much can never move.
Yeah.
Because she's been in her apartment for like 15 years.
Right.
She pays, I think, $900 a month. You're never going to have that again anywhere else. Nope. Even in Scranton, Pennsylvania, where the cost of living is negative 9,000 or whatever.
Right.
People are asking like for dumps, like $2,000 a month.
I know.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, what?
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Rant over.
Okay.
So they're looking at the house. Michael likes it a lot, but he's like, you know, Michael has a real, this isn't a penthouse energy is what mm-hmm. I wrote. Mm-hmm. Like he likes it, but he's like, yeah. You know, does it have an espresso maker built in? Where's my wine fridge? Where's my tub? Michael likes the finer things. And I think Michael has the money to provide himself with the finer things.
And where is the 19 walk-in closets he's going to need for all of his clothes?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I think when you get down to the core of it, and we see a little bit of this from Michael, where he's constantly saying, like, Chloe's a better person than me. Chloe's a good human. Chloe, I think he knows they are mismatched in this way.
Yeah, I think so.
When she said she wants to do all of that, the fostering, I think Michael, you know, and he said at the wedding, like, I wouldn't be opposed to fostering a kid or two. Like, I think that's in him, and Michael's a very sweet person. I'm not saying he's not. But Chloe is one of those exceptional people that is built. It's in her DNA to help other humans.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. And I think Michael admires that in her.
But secretly
knows somewhere deep inside he can't match that. And she doesn't – like he would be doing her a disservice, in other words.
The expectation of matching it I think is unrealistic because she's a special breed of person. She works for a nonprofit. She lives very minimally so she can have pets. So she could, like, she very much, this is how she, mm-hmm. this is who she is at her core.
Yeah. And I think he thinks he knows he can't match it, but he knows he can't even come close.
No. And that's fine, Michael. Don't worry about it.
I think in his heart of hearts, he probably feels like that's shortchanging her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's
shame.
What's happening. Mm-hmm. So she's like, what do you think? This is only $500 a month more than we pay now because it's $4,800 a month. And she's like, do you think you could stop spending money on clothes?
Yeah. No.
It's one of those things that you say and you try to suck it right back into your mouth after it comes out, but it doesn't. And he tells the camera, like, I don't know, I don't see this working. Yeah. Like, meaning the house. Yeah. He doesn't see the house working. So they sit down. He's like, look, I think this is nice, but we can go much cheaper. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if we both say yes, we want to live together, you know, we're not that far. It's a quick 20-minute drive right now. And he said, he's like, how comfortable would you be? Mm-hmm. If it took us 5, 6, 7, 8 months to find a place that works for both of us. She's like, no, I want to be very clear that if we're staying married, we need to think about living together. Okay. She's articulating what she wants, but I think this is what she always wanted. Yeah. And I think Pia was picking up on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now we get Michael being forced to meet with Brennan, and I just wrote, No.
I don't want these two near. I don't want Brennan infecting Michael's brain with anything.
Especially his DNA.
Yeah, oh.
We don't want anything happening to our precious Michael. No. Get away from him. Stop trying to pull him into the manosphere. Yeah. That's what's happening. Ugh. Michael would never go into the manosphere. That's why we like him so much.
No. The manosphere wouldn't take him. The pearls in the skirt? Uh-uh. They'd be like, fuck you, get out. Manosphere's not into it.
I wrote, this is going to be the number one question I ask Michael if I ever get to interview him.
Oh.
Why did they force you to talk to Brennan so much? So he says he would date Chloe, of course. Like, that's easy. Okay? Yeah. He's like, if I had to make this decision tomorrow to just date her, I would do that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know if he would stay married. Brennan says, are you happy, bro? Bro, you happy? Look at that bartender. Isn't she cute? Isn't she hot? Look at her.
I hate him.
Michael says, yeah, I'm happy. And bro is like, that's the challenge, you know? Just being happy. You're in a good place, bro. Just roll with it. Just vibe with it. Be on the vibe. What do bros say? Beyond the vibe.
Beyond the vibe. I don't believe that is something that bros in fact say. Beyond the vibe.
Wait,
anybody says that actually.
Amanda, our quick takes bring all the boys to the yard. Guys, if you're not on Patreon, Amanda and I covered 90 Day the Single Life, and we were trying to say something, our milkshake brings the boys to the yard, right? Neither one of us could get there. Amanda was Googling it. And I was going, somebody bring something to our milkshake.
We're such old, stupid people. What is happening? I love it so much.
Okay. So... Michael starts word salading himself. You know, did we build enough? That's the challenge. I have to tap into my emotional. Like, stop talking
out of this.
Stop talking.
Yeah, yes. He's talking himself out of this.
Brennan, I'm so nasty in my notes to Brennan.
Good.
I wrote, bro. Bro says he was sad and hurt, and he was trying to protect that precious Emily the whole time.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I didn't want her first relationship to be bad. Okay, dude. So you tortured her instead. Right.
So I don't want to accuse anybody of anything planet? That we did not see, but he was on, such a dick to her and what we saw.
On what planet is what you did protecting her? You terrorized this girl.
He thinks he's protecting her by not saying, I fucking hate your guts.
You're that better was the to protection. Say that. Be yeah, honest.
Just say that and go. Go away. Get away from her.
Because let me tell you something. I'm going to speak on behalf of all women here.
Okay.
She knew that. She knew it. We know it. You know, we know that there's something you're not telling us. It's mm-hmm. it's our intuition. Dumb. It's whatever. We're picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he's like, you guys have something beautiful here. And, you know, we all tried this to get what you have.
Okay. Whatever.
Now we have a stupid group scene with the boys. And they go see a blacksmith and they're making bottle openers. They sit down. They're broing out. Okay. Orion says... I still think there's a conversation to be had with Lauren. Stay the fuck away from Lauren. Stay away from her.
What is there to talk about? You two have broken up and broken up and broken up and talked about not breaking up and broken. Like, stop torturing this woman.
You know what you're doing, dude? You're building her a bridge to an insane asylum. That's what you're doing. You're going to walk her right over it.
Stay the fuck away from her.
Stop torturing her. I love her. Stop it.
So he explains about the message and he's like, I don't know how to respond to the message. And somebody, I don't know if it was Austin or Brennan, was like, oh, did she send you a wall of text? Oh, that's never
good. Brennan.
Yeah. Brennan's probably got many of those.
Oh, I'm sure. From many a woman. Not just Emily. Many a woman.
Austin says he's still recovering, but he's missing Becca.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, now, I think he and Becca did have like an affection for each other. I think they had fun together.
I agree. That was really a case of like they just weren't the right people for each other.
No.
But they respect. Really. I have always said I trust Becca and I trust her judgment. She has always told us that Austin's a good person.
Yep. Yep. The thing she's gotten mad about is that his actions and his words don't.
Yeah. He has some growing to do.
He does.
He's a man child.
He will grow, though. He will not grow.
He will.
He will have a legit growth, I think, at some point.
Not like Brennan's growth that he experienced. No.
Brennan's never going to be better.
Now we get to Brennan. And he's like, I'll be honest, bro. Let's get into it. He goes, first accusation. First red flag was the accusation. I asked her to delete a diary cam. She was talking shit about me. Like, who wouldn't have asked her to delete the diary cam? The experts needed to hear the shit she was talking about you to get in there and fix it, dude. And here's something. If it wasn't true, if she was just making shit up,
then say
the experts could have helped you suss that out. Okay. Second red flag. I didn't say anything about a double date. That was Cameron. And then he goes, again, this motherfucker. If you want to accuse me of stuff after saving your life, I have no words. I have no words.
I know. Todd was like, saving?
Amanda, question.
Amy, yes. The speaker recognizes Amy Archer.
We saw Emily's accident.
Yes, we did.
Okay. At what point was she in grave danger of dying?
From the actual accident that happened, I don't think she was in any danger of dying. Okay. I mean, once we knew her neck wasn't... My concern when she got hit was her neck. Something going wrong.
My concern was her eyes.
Right.
I was concerned about the face.
I was concerned about her eyes and her neck. Once it became clear, it was just a really bad head lack.
It was a bad accident. I'm not minimizing it.
No,
but it was not. They said if she didn't have her helmet on, she probably would have died.
Right.
She had her helmet on.
My God.
She was talking. Mm-hmm. She was, you know what I mean? She was okay. Like, it wasn't like she was dangling precariously off a cliff and Brennan ran over and grabbed her arm and pulled her up.
Brennan did nothing extraordinary.
Brennan did what, but see, this is bro code. This is bro talk. Bro talk is... I did the bare minimum, and now I need to be pat on the back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the rest of these guys, like, say what you want about Michael, even Orion. I don't think Orion's a bro.
No, I don't think he is either. I think he's an asshole, but he's not a bro.
Right. And even Austin, they're just looking at him like, dude, did you really save her life?
Right. Okay. We saw the footage.
Yeah. So Austin goes, I really can't get into this. Austin, I have a theory that Austin doesn't like Brennan.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think he sees Brennan for who he is.
Yeah. I don't think that they have had many scenes together, have they?
No, not really. They haven't paired the two of them up very often, one-on-one.
Mm-mm. So Brennan says, I'll be honest, bro. We were sitting ducks at that massacre, no matter how unfair, unjust, or untrue the accusations were. Okay.
What is this? A fucking, like, what's this? The Battle of the Brandywine? Like, what are you talking about?
I was going to go with, was it the Valentine's Day Massacre?
Maybe.
In Chicago with the Gatling guns? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I may have that wrong. I'm sorry. Apologies in advance for any descendants of the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Okay.
Should we look it up?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Valentine.
I want to say it was Chicago.
I can't type. Massacre. Valentine's Day Massacre. Facts. Okay.
Okay. Facts.
Massacre, February 14th, 1929. Seven members and associates of George Bugs Moran's bootlegging gang were lined up against a wall and shot dead inside the garage at 2122 North Clark Street. Al Capone's Chicago outfit was widely suspected of ordering the hit, but no one was ever prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. I think I learned that. Did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
No, and I know that I should have. I know I should have.
It was the writing in that show, I'm telling you right now, it was some of the best written television I've ever experienced. It was so good. So good. Okay, so later now, Michael gets home and he full on wakes Chloe up.
Yeah, what? What was that?
Look, what? I love Michael, but this is, as Ryan would say, a bridge too far.
Do not wake somebody up unless
to it's tell an them emergency. That you're not sure about your relationship.
Right, unless it is a timely emergency, do not wake anybody up. This conversation, Michael could have waited until the next day.
He wakes her up to tell her that he is, to tell her that he has underestimated how draining the whole foster thing could be. He says he gets drained when he thinks about the future, and she's like, truthfully, safe space, are you ready to be married? And he's like, I'm trying to navigate that now, and I'm thinking and I'm questioning this. And I wrote, oh my god, this motherfucker woke her up for this.
I know
Michael, you know better, come on. So she's like, okay, I need to process this and like wipe the sleepers out of my eyes and right. figure out where the hell I am. And then she tries not to cry because she says, did my living together thing, like did me pushing that plant these seeds of doubts? And he's like, I don't know. She tries not to cry. She says, can you please do me a favor? I do not want, nor will I allow us to give up too quickly. Please don't make your decision until decision day. And he says, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have that from me.
Okay.
Now, next time on, for no reason, we see like a boudoir shoot by Becca.
I don't know, but that looks fun.
And then Becca and Austin have dinner, but like they're with a group. It's not just them alone.
Yeah.
Well, and then it's decision day for Chloe and Michael.
That's it.
Do you remember when Kwame and Chelsea from Love is Blind had the underwear horrible shoot?
Boudoir shoot in their Calvin Kleins? Yeah.
White Calvin Kleins, right?
It was bad. White, was bad. I think he was wearing, was he wearing, I don't remember the color. I don't remember anything. That was bad. Other than it was bad.
It was,
as someone who's done a boudoir odd. Shoot, it was bad.
It
was
odd. It wasn't
hot. That,
no, no.
It wasn't hot. It didn't look fun.
Mm-mm. Boudoir I should be like a little sexy, leaving a little something to the imagination. A little
playful.
Yeah, they're just like tidy whitey Calvin Klein's out there.
Yeah. I feel like in that season, Chelsea just had a long, like, checklist of things she wanted to do with a partner. And she was just marching Kwame through all of those things.
Okay. I also think, based on what we saw of Chelsea's house, she's got money.
Girlfriend comes from some means. This is absolutely true. Yeah.
Like, she was on the water in Seattle. Yeah.
That house was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it. That's all we have to say about MAFS. What are your thoughts? Do you think Michael and Chloe are going to get married? I never get to talk to you about this show.
Yeah. I think she's going to say yes and he's going to say no. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this.
We don't know how many more episodes we have, do we?
Oh, probably 17.
I know. That's your number for everything. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I honestly, Michael did whisper to me that, you know, we had quite a few more. So.
Okay.
I think we're going to go through April with it.
Wow. Okay.
Because there will be a reunion. There will be the whole thing.
Oh, they do a reunion?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
I think they do a reunion. Am I having a fever dream? Guys, come at me. I'm pretty sure. This is your first time watching MAFS, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's wrong with it and how do we fix it?
What's wrong with it and how do we fix it? Well, I think we need to better suss out the people.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we have to remember, it's the same thing of 90. It's all this reality TV. We're not necessarily putting the best people on. We're putting the best TV together.
Correct.
So that can't be taken out of this.
Right.
Like the fact that Becca, who is an atheist, winds up with religious Austin. No.
Mm-mm.
Uh-uh.
Mm-mm.
That doesn't
They've done
work.
This before too with political people. They took like a conservative and a liberal and put them together. Like, no. Maybe 10 years ago, but not now.
And can these things work? Maybe, but it's a real rare situation where two people really Timmy would have said.
Well, James Carville and his wife, they managed. Sure. I'm like, okay. Timmy, first of all.
That was like 35 years ago. Second like of all, Mary Madeline
years ago.
is not what we have today. So we'll just let that go. I think they need more time to suss out the people. I think we need actual therapists. So tell me about Dr. Pepper. Is she a legit therapist? Like, is she a good therapist?
Yeah, she is. And she used to be way more involved. She has peaced out, as has Pastor Cal, Castor Pal, sorry. He's off designing his app. And I know. He's just they're just not around.
And bitches be shopping, you know, like.
Bitches be shopping. We used to have Dr. Jessica. She was really good, but then she fell in love with the contestant and they got married. John, his name was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she got fired. And then we had Dr. Viviana, who we really liked. But I want to say it was Dr. Viviana who took on Chris in Atlanta, who was,
okay.
And she used to, it was very Brennan-esque. Like she would just go up against this guy constantly. And she's gone for some reason.
Okay. So I think we need better, therapists.
Like the onus tends to be on that third person.
Got it.
To keep doing all the work while Castor Pal and Doc Pep are just sitting around collecting the royalty checks. I don't know what's going on.
I feel like there is the potential for Becca and Austin to have made it if they had real therapy.
Yeah, I agree with that. You don't think Emily and Brennan could have made it?
No.
What about Lauren and Orion? Do you think they could have built that bridge, Amanda?
For Lauren and Orion to have made it, Orion would needed to have been extracted from the situation and from his own body and replaced with a different personality.
And then put Michael's personality in there.
And then that might have worked.
It could have been like, what's that movie where the father and son switch personalities?
Oh.
Not Freaky Friday. That is mother and daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. I'm talking... It's a Matthew Perry might be in it. Oh, God. This is no. Never mind.
Father.
Is it father and son?
Son switch bodies movie. Like father, like son. This would be. Oh, God. Wait till you find out who is in this.
Oh, no.
Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Well, okay. It's got a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb, a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Not surprised.
While Dr. Jack Hammond, Dudley Moore, is a respected surgeon on his way to getting a coveted position at the hospital where he works, his son, Chris, Kirk Cameron, is a mediocre high school student with problems his dad could not care less about.
Mm.
There we go.
I will say this, and I've said it before. When Kirk Cameron was Mike Seaver, I loved him.
Sure. When he was on Growing Pains, he was great. And then he turned into what he is now.
Something else happened. Yeah, something else happened there.
I don't like it.
So do you feel like the show is too long?
I'm enjoying it mostly because I'm enjoying you and Stephanie doing it. Like maybe if I didn't have that laugh as part of it, I'd be really annoyed at the length. Right now I'm like, let's go forever because I just want to listen to the two of you talk about it. So, you know, I can't divorce one from the other.
Well, that warms my ticker.
Everyone's a ticker?
Ticker.
Cam's like, I can't even be bothered with you motherfuckers.
Yeah, Cam peaced out. All right, guys. As I said, Stephanie will be back next week. Yes. Do not worry. She is not lying in hospital with a broken ticker.
No. Nor did Brennan come and almost save her life.
Mm-mm. She is.
She just has strep throat. Oh, my God.
I've done a lot of things to Stephanie over the years for laughs. Uh-huh. I think having Brennan show up at her house and ring the doorbell might be the ultimate. I would have to pay him a lot of money probably because let me tell you something. I know you guys think I rip on these bros. They hate me as much as I hate them. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to want anything to do with us.
No.
We're ladies of a certain age who are large and in charge. They're not going to want a damn thing to do with us.
So I would have to pay him a lot of money. And promise him a lot of screen time.
Which we're not doing, so.
We're not doing. So she'll be back. Amanda and I will be back. What are we covering next? We're covering Daughters of the Cult in April. On Patreon, Supercast, and Apple subscriptions.
Right. We're also going to do the other thing that we talked about.
Oh, we're talking about doing the Octopus Murders.
Which I just started watching last night for like 20 minutes. And then.
Yeah. You could see how I'm into that guy, right?
Yeah,
you're into him too.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally into him.
Yeah, like somebody who's obsessed with the political conspiracy.
He reminds me of a young Val Kilmer.
Yes, but no. I'm going to give you. Oh shit! What was that movie?
Here we go.
Oh god! What was that movie with Al Pacino and Chris O'Donnell?
Rudy?
No.
No, he wasn't Rudy. Oh my god! Everybody just screamed when I said Rudy.
Chris O'Donnell. Sorry, guys. Movie.
Doesn't it take place in college?
Scent of a Woman.
Oh god, I love that movie. Yes.
One of the bad guys who was friends with Philip Seymour Hoffman looks like that guy.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, RIP.
Oh god, such an RIP. That was such a heartbreak when he passed.
For all of you watching Capote and the Swans, you need to see Truman with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I love him.
He
so much.
Was Truman Capote. Yeah. In that movie. Was it called Capote or was it called Truman? It was called Capote.
Capote.
Right? Yeah. The movie?
Yeah, Capote.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
Oh, God, he was such a phenomenal actor.
He was phenomenal. All right, that's it, guys. We love you. We'll see you soon. Jump in our Facebook group, Backdoor Friends, and don't forget to fill out that survey if you get a chance. We appreciate it.
Thanks for letting me talk maths this week.
Yeah, thank you for stepping in. We really appreciate it. It was good to see you. Good to chat with you about this.
Yes.
Okay, see you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.